Thank you all for being here today, January. There we go. I hope everyone had a good holiday and everyone's staying dry. I don't know where everybody is. It's very dry where I am, so. So can Kathy or can you do roll call?
Yes. Bill Cover.
Present.
Jeff Jones. I didn't see him. Bruce Utter.
Here.
John Dashner.
Present.
Sharon Tobias.
Present.
Dan Crosby.
Here.
Andy Rich.
Here.
And also with us is legal counsel Andrew Ramos, general manager Tyler Mayo, Lee Schmeeds, administrative operations manager, Craig Lutz, who's part of our long-range planning committees, and myself, Kathy Powell, accounts manager.
Thank you, Kathy. So the first item is a public comment. And are there any members of the public present? No. So I did actually, since it's not on the agenda, I thought this might be where I could just state that we're looking at rescheduling when we have the meetings so we can accommodate Craig's schedule. But he's here today, so now I'm a little confused. But my understanding is the second Saturdays typically don't work. So everybody should be getting a survey out next week about future dates that might possibly work, like the third Saturday, as well as a different date in March, because that third Saturday won't work for me. But you guys feel free to meet without me. That's fine too. So I just want to put it out there that we're looking at finding another date for meetings.
And this is going forward?
Yes. So. Okay. I mean, I like the Saturdays, but, you know, we might have to go to, like, the third Saturday if that would work for people. Or a late afternoon during the week if that would work for people. Since a lot of the meetings are over Zoom now, it might be easier to accommodate than people having to be in Arnold. So, but when you get the survey, you can tell me what you think. So can you share your thoughts? All right.
I had a quick question. Sure. So what's revised in the packet? I had just finished reviewing the packet, and a new one came out, and I couldn't see any revision marks on the packet. I noticed, like, minute meetings from past meetings were not in there. But so what did you change in the packet?
It was within the agreement. There was a change. That once I gave it to Andrew, there was a change in it. So we had added that small change. And then there was a change on the cash basis page where there was a red negative number. It needed to be a black number to show that it was positive.
Okay. So two minor changes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the new packet is not complete then, right? So it wasn't a complete packet.
The only thing out of it was the minutes.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
Yes.
Why did we pull the minutes?
We didn't pull them. When we remade it, they weren't in there. We have the minutes to show on the side. They're just not within the packet.
Okay. So they were left out inadvertently.
Yeah. Has anyone, did we hear from Jeff that he wasn't going to attend?
Mm-mm.
All right. I did not. No, I got no emails from Jeff.
Okay. Just curious, that's all.
Well, he and I corresponded earlier this past week, and he was planning to attend at that time. Yeah, so those of you who are not local, it's kind of a shit show with the rain that we're getting. It's just pretty awful. So we might be dealing with some sort of a
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely could be dealing with an internet issue right now.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. It's sunny here. The sun just came up. Just so you know.
Well, so where are you, Hawaii?
I'm in Maui, yeah. It's a little early, but it was the price to pay. I'm willing to take it. So, all right. So the next item on the agenda is the consent calendar.
So within the consent calendar, there's also the financials, which are only a draft until we receive the approved financials from Atherton and Ebbets Pass Accounting. So being that it's only a draft, I don't believe we can finalize the financials today, because within the financials, those numbers will be changing after Atherton and Ebbets Pass Accounting get a hold of them for the accrual basis.
So before we go through the consent calendar, there was one thing I noticed on the meeting minutes from the November 12th meeting.
Mm-hmm.
There was an item here that said AM Powell will present something in the executive session. I don't remember that happening, and I didn't think we could have anybody outside of the board in the executive session.
Well, no, there are other people that can attend the executive session as long as it's not in regards to employees.
It was the shareholders. It was a shareholder letter that we discussed during executive session.
Okay. So you were there, all right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tyler, I thought we were going to go through the new financials today.
Yes, we are. But as far as approving them in the consent calendar,
right.
Being that it's a draft, it's going to probably have to hold off unless I'm wrong about that. But knowing that Atherton, Ebbets Pass Accounting are going to get a hold of these same financials and there will be changes in it, it would have to be approval pending the changes.
Well, can we just approve everything else in the consent calendar, pull those from the consent calendar?
Yes.
Okay. So we need a motion to remove the financials from the consent calendar and approve everything else.
So moved.
Second.
Andrew, do we need to vote on that or can we just move on?
You do need to vote on the consent calendar. Right. Yes.
The caffeine has not kicked in. I'm sorry. All in favor, signify.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. I heard four
aye. Aye.
Okay. All right. And I'm an aye too. I guess there's no one else to vote no. So, all right. It's still moved. So my understanding is we have a new, the financials are coming directly from the accounting package from Account Edge.
Yes. Yes. We are at basically a click and print, trying to take out a lot of any of the human error that might be happening, as well as we went to a level two. So there wasn't as much detail and so many jumbled numbers on there. If anybody wants to see it where there's more explanation subcategories to the categories that are there, we can send out a level four to everybody and you would see what is comprised inside of these categories.
So the intent is what we see here in this level two is what we'll be getting in future board package, right?
Correct. This is working on a way to get a format so we can continue this for this fiscal year. And this first balance sheet is a year to year. So comparing what happened in 2021 to 2022. If there's any questions on this page.
So, Tyler, I don't really have any question, but I would be curious to see a level 3 or 4, just to see what information it contains.
Okay, yeah, the level 4, it would just show what accounts are comprised in the operating accounts. Kathy, can you pull up the level 4 balance sheet? So it would look similar to this. There would obviously be a comparison of either year to year or month to month. This is just as of December, but to show you what subcategories are comprised if we gave you a level 4. So there's the operating accounts, which has the B of A 3 accounts and the U.S. bank account. And going forward, the operating reserve accounts, the 3 accounts that are comprised of the operating reserve, and the operating reserve is the for water rate stabilization and emergency reserve fund. And then obviously the capital asset reserve money and the restricted accounts, so on and so forth. When you get down to fixed assets, instead of it being just a single number, it shows you what is within those fixed assets, as well as the accumulated depreciations.
Okay, thanks, that answers it.
Yeah, would you like to see a level 4 instead of the level 2 within the board packets, or when I send out the financials, we can always send a level 4 to who wants to see that over who would just rather see a level 2?
My opinion, I'd like to see just the level 2 and then see level 4 on request.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with it. Okay, so going back to the packet, we'll move into the next financial page.
Sorry, just a sec.
So this would be November to December balance sheet. So you would see what had changed in the accounts, liabilities, equity through the through November to December.
And the reason that's 2 months is that's our billing cycle, right?
Well, it's the consecutive 2 months since we had met. So
I mean, we bill the customers every 2 months.
Correct.
So you want to present
so 2 months. So that's where the accounts receivables, yeah. You'll see that change dramatically between 2 months.
Right. So that was the reason, you do it that
billing
way.
And getting in money, yes.
Yeah, Bill, I think you were talking about the income statement. This is the snapshot of the balance sheet.
It has the accounts receivable on it.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's, you can look at it, the change or not change between those 2 months. So instead of doing it every 3 months, we do it every 2 months because that's our billing cycle.
Correct.
Well, now I'm confused. So the... I'm looking at, the pages aren't numbered. It's, I guess, page 4 of the financial section. It says December 21 through 2022. So is this the full year 21 compared to full year 22?
Yes.
So, yeah, the first page was a year to year. So, yes, full year of 2021 and full year of 2022.
Remember, this is a balance sheet, so it's not like a full year. It's just an as update.
Yeah.
So I think we're getting confused on those topics.
So we can always out a year to year and just do the month to month too, if it's just too confusing.
Well, I find comparing month to month to be irrelevant, because of the fluctuations in your spending and fluctuations in the receivables. So if I look at the next page, page 5, page 6, comparing November to December is meaningless. It would be better to compare it against the budget.
Well, that would be on the cash basis page. We'll be showing that.
All right, well.
You want me to pull that up?
There isn't a click and print with a profit and loss to compare to.
So why don't we write down the questions and go through the four or five pages, and then we can address Andy's question. Is that fair, Andy? Because sure. Once we see the whole picture, then...
Yeah, no, that's fine.
We'll go back and go through it in order again.
Yeah, if I can just add, I mean, Tyler and I have been talking about what's the best way to present these things. And I know every time I think Tyler meets with me versus somebody else, you know, in fairness to him, he's always hearing different things. So it's changing around a lot. So I think we just maybe in connection with once the year-end financial statements are done, then maybe we have an anchor point. We can figure out what's the best thing that everybody, you know, wants to see.
Right. Yeah. So we were hoping to have this after Craig and I talked, have it more finalized in March. And of course, that will be depending on if Atherton and Evitz Pass Accounting gets everything done by March.
Okay, so take it away, Tyler.
Okay, so then here's the profit and loss on a month-to-month, and then there's the total change for those 2 months.
No, that's a combined.
Combined for the 2 months. Thank you, Lee. That's got the income and expenses on it. And then there's the cash flow. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Kathy, go back. The cash flow page, which is changed because of we met with Evitz Pass Accounting and updated depreciation schedule. And when we updated the depreciation schedule, there were numerous items that got taken off. So the numbers are a little obscured on this and will change dramatically, I would say, or would change once Evitz Pass Accounting finishes their accounting for the year for us. And once Atherton gets a hold of it and does the accrual, right? Is it accrual, Lee?
Just the review.
The review. Okay. Next page. This is also a statement of cash flow for the entire year. So for the entire year from January to December. Go to the next one if there's no questions here.
So when I look
at
that, it shows that we have our net income was $399,925, correct?
Correct, yeah. Somewhere in that area is what the cash, is it the cash basis net was, but once they do the amortization, that's going to change.
And they'll do the USDA payment.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is not done yet either.
Next page. This is the accounts receivable or aged accounts receivable showing the total balance of the accounts receivable equaling the $380,238, same as on the balance sheet, and then showing what is in the past accounts. The only part that was difficult with this is that to show the full account receivables, we had to show all the accounts that are within the system that are even where, like, say somebody sold their house and still owed us money is still part of those numbers. That's why the total accounts in system is higher than the 2040 that it typically is.
So we have 52 accounts that are 120 days or more past due.
Correct.
And $130,000, in arrears.
Yes. And most of those are the same ones that have been there for years and years.
And most of that,
I would say all of them are leaned by now.
And most of that 129 is interest and penalties, right? Just accruing over the years?
Yes. Is that correct, Lee?
That's a real good portion of it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. In some instances, I think we have two accounts where they owe more in interest and penalty than they do in the base rate.
So of the 52 that are 120 days or more, how many liens are there outstanding?
Kathy?
19.
Okay, so what about the other 33?
This is as of December 31st, and we just sent out the billing, so I've actually had probably another 10 to 15 pay. Those people in that category owe for three billings, and I've had several people pay those three billings, so it's actually less now, but this is just December month end.
As of December.
Yeah, but since the bills aren't due until January 26th, that number will dramatically change.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I have a question.
Next page.
Never mind.
Next question.
Oh, sorry.
So my question is, so these people who are over 120 days, and I'm just throwing this out there, are some of these people who never adjusted to the fact that we bill every other month and they want to just pay once a year or something? I just wonder. And that's why they're paying in January, because they're paying every...
Some of them believe that they are on automatic pay.
Oh.
And we find out that it's incorrect, or they were until they changed their credit card. So there's a system glitch, so to speak. Yeah. And then once they speak with Kathy, then they catch their balance back up to date.
Okay, thank you.
And I am sending out, notices and 30-day notices and stuff. So I've been trying to keep up with those balances.
Well, I just filed three lien releases.
So I lost my credit card and I got a new one. So I could be one of those 52?
Yes, you could.
I don't think so, because you didn't show up on my printout. You're not yet.
Okay.
You might be in one of the 89
days. I need to give you my new number. So
okay. At the end of the month.
Yeah, all right. Sorry about that, guys.
Jeff Jones just joined us.
So just bring your checkbook next time.
So what is that credit card number?
Yeah, I need to buy a luau tonight. So.
Oh, that's expensive.
Welcome, Jeff.
Good. We got Jeff in here.
Did he sneak in?
I just admitted him in. Let me.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see. There he is at the bottom.
It's Karen.
I know. It's Karen. Well, I like the aged report. I mean, judging that it just comes, that's coming right out of their account.
Yeah, this is the closest we can get to a click and print on this one.
Right. So a lot of people sold their place and they still owe us money?
Really? Right? Only one.
Oh, okay.
We did this for one.
It didn't go through a title company, so I wasn't aware of the change until like 5 months later after the property had changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the process of, unfortunately, it looks like I might have to switch those fees like as in a pertinent property thing. So I was just giving her a little bit longer and then it'll get paid.
Yeah, I know you probably want to talk to Andrew, but in real estate, doesn't the person buy the debt that goes with the property?
Correct.
All right. So
yeah, and I've already talked to the new owner as well. So he's aware that that might be a possibility.
Okay. Thank you. Jeff, did you join us?
I'm here.
Morning, Jeff.
Good morning. I had a great night's sleep. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's awesome.
Next page is the bills paid. This is the typical one you guys always see. It is a transfer of the statements minus payroll and minus the deposits. And the only thing we add in on this is just the descriptions going down the middle. So this is a pretty as close to as we can get with a click and print. And then the final, if there's no questions on this page, the final page is the cash basis page. And this would be the one that it's compared to what was in the budget. You have the November year to date, the December actual, the December year to date, and then what was in the budget and year to budget remaining. With the percentages down the side showing which areas we either made more money or spent too much money.
And this is a draft.
Yes. And this will be changing too, I believe, rightly, after they
somewhat
to some extent. Yeah.
Basically for the moving capital assets and from expenses.
So as you can see though, we made another approximately a little over $4,000 this year from what we had budgeted. And we had only spent the $1.2 million.
Kathy, can you scroll down a little?
Yeah.
Where do you show the $1.2 million? I don't see it.
Up top there, or very top and the very bottom, both show it. Very top where it says total income, total expenses, it would be the year to date, December, showing the 1.2.
The expenses?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it also shows it at the bottom too. But yeah, that's. So we only incurred 76% of the budget this year.
I see in here that there's a line item for paying Andy for the employee compensation and studies of $10,000. Is that normally how much we pay him?
Yes, it's what we budget for it for each year for him to do the salary compensation. And really it just depends on how many hours it takes him to complete that. And this year it was the full 10,000. It actually was a little over that. And so
on this sheet right in front of us, if you look at the consulting.
Consulting went over this year because it wasn't budgeted for when we voted it in toward the end of the year. We didn't budget for it last year. So this year was the first year that we did that. And it's going to continue for the next years while Andy's still with us.
Let me rephrase. The first year it's included in the consulting budget is 2023. So it wasn't included in the 2022 budget. So that's why we went over budget on that line. So,
but in earlier years, like 2020 or 2021, that was in the budget and that's what we paid him?
We never paid Andy before.
No.
Oh.
2021 would have been just different consulting. I would have to get the particulars of what we did in all the consulting that year. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Pretty much it was Tom. Mm-hmm.
Tom, okay.
Tom, yeah. So this is the first year we actually paid Andy.
Yes.
Didn't we pay Andy for hiring Tyler?
Yeah, so that was a different year.
Oh,
that was 2020.
Year. Yeah, okay. All right. Time flies.
It was a good hire.
It was.
Yeah, I remember we reviewed and approved that money. I just don't remember approving this $10,000.
We did that in November. At the executive board meeting in November of 2022.
Oh, okay. That's the meeting I had to leave early. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that would be the final page of the financials. This is just the typical usage charts. Scroll down just a little bit, Kathy, and I can show them the numbers, actually.
Can we make sure that we answered Andy's question?
Yeah.
On the financials?
With being able to compare to budget, did that last page answer your question, Andy?
Well, yeah, I suppose so. The problem that I'm having is the print size is below my ability to see it, so I have to get my...
Oh, okay. Can you zoom in, Kathy, on this page?
I have it in front of me.
There we go. Oh, okay.
Anyway, so kind of like my expectation, it may not be everybody else's, is that if there's, you know, Tyler and his team has to bring it up to the board, our attention, if there's something on the budget that's kind of out of whack or it's not, you know, within a reasonable error, you know, like if we go 5% over in one area or 5% over lower, it may not be, but if there's something, a new item or something like that, we should, that he, I think they're responsible to point that out. But also if we have the raw data, then if anybody wants to do their own audit of it, they can do that. So.
Yeah. So my question goes to, the December year to date versus the 2022 budget column. So what I'm showing is, or seeing is the total income, is pretty much right on the money with a $4,000, you know, $4,100 surplus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I scroll down to the bottom and I see $398,309.
Mm-hmm. So that's because in this one, it's just showing the full budget. It's not what was over that budget. That 4,000 is missing. If you see over in the, is it the fourth number line where it says 1.660? That's just what the budget was, the year to date budget. It didn't show the surplus of the 4,000. So that would be the number that's missing from the top to the bottom there.
Yeah. But if I look at the bottom, 398,309,
mm-hmm.
I guess I'm, is that basically profit?
Yes.
Yes, on a cash basis. Yes. That's what we will be rolling over approximately.
So I'm going to raise the same question that I've raised several times before. You know, we've got $400,000 surplus in a not-for-profit organization. You know, if I'm a shareholder, I'm going to be, you know, pretty upset with that amount of money because this is the, fifth or sixth year in a row that it's been well over $200,000.
But we have to bank out of that money. We have to bank the $150,000 a year to keep up with capital assets. So that's a big chunk of that money, as well as just us trying to conserve money because that's the way it had always been in the past with us trying to conserve on the budget to make sure we had enough money to roll over for future projects.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole notion of that's how it was in the past, you know, doesn't, sit quite right.
But,
and I defer to Andrew from a legal standpoint. You know, I'm uncomfortable showing this kind of a profit.
Okay, the money's earmarked for future stuff. So, I mean, we have to keep increasing it because we have some very large projects coming up in the future. That are going to cost over $1 million, you know, for unit 13, nearly $1 million for the meter replacement. And then if we ever want to develop Borad, we're looking at over $1 million. So without us banking the large sum of money, we won't keep up on the assets.
And you know, there's a couple things on here when I look at it. I mean, I have the same question when I look at it. I see, okay, we budgeted for break even, right? And we've got $400,000. Where's that coming from? And if I go and look at the detail, I see that $229,000 is out of one line item, and that's USDA loan repayment. Mm-hmm. And I'm still trying to get my hands around how all this, you know, how the budgeting and everything works. But the budgeted amount was $427,555, and that's the total amount of the interest expense and the principal payment. But for whatever reason, the budget had $198,000 in it. So I know that we're going to pay $427,000, you know, for the year. However, that's reflected in here, I don't know.
That
takes out $200,000 of the $230,000. And this also does not include depreciation, which is $400,000 or $500,000. So if you throw that in, we're running at a deficit.
Yeah, and then we're looking at a few of these items too, like monitoring SCADA at source of supply. A few of those items, monitoring SCADA at the treatment plant, those are just complete unknowns because we have had multiple computer boards fail in a year, and it could cost us at least that amount. So we're just trying to not go over in some of those.
Well, I think Andy's point is well taken. And I think one of the exercises, Craig, I mean, I'm definitely rely on your expertise here because I don't have that background in accounting, but the way we presented it, it has to reflect whether or not if we are operating at a deficit, then it needs to be reflected somewhere on these tables or cleared out on a separate item. And then the other thing is that there should be like something very clear on how the USDA loan repayment is if, you know, because we're collecting that separate from the water billing, right? I mean, it's on the same statement, but those funds is a separate line item on the monthly bill. But I think Andy's point's well taken about the way that if that really is a profit, but what I'm hearing is that it's just presented as a profit on the sheet, but we don't really have it. And that's part of the exercise to change how we present the information to the board. Because it can't be both ways.
Yeah, Bill, I mean, I'm in total agreement with you, and that's what I'm trying to incrementally work towards.
Yeah, and I think you're the right person to do it. I mean, if you have time, I mean, but I mean, I don't think there's any intent to have a huge profit. And the other philosophy is whether or not for future projects that we haven't approved yet, the question is, once you approve the project, then you go to the stockholders to raise the money, or do you raise the money before you approve the project? And just in case we decide to approve it. So, I mean, that's another question about a nonprofit. You know, when do you raise the money, before or after the projects materialize? If you're going to do an engineering study for a project, yeah, you raise the money for the engineering project. But if you haven't funded that project, the question is, should we be raising that money before we've made a decision to fund it? So I think Andy's point is well taken. I agree that, Craig, I really encourage you to do what you can do here so to help us. So that's all I got to say now. But.
So one of the ways we dealt with this sort of an issue in the corporate environment was, you know, to have a follow-on page that is basically an explanation for the cause of change, which, you know, basically regurgitates what Tyler and Craig just said. Because, you know, if I'm a shareholder and I am looking at this, you know, I'm going to take at face value that there's a $400,000 profit. You know, so we're not being fully transparent with our shareholders by not sharing with them, you know, what Tyler and Craig have said. So I'll leave it there for, you know, others to sort out. But
and I'm as naive as Bill, if not more, in accounting matters. But if this $400,000 is not profit, and if it's earmarked for upcoming projects, shouldn't it be in reserves, or at least some portion of it be in reserves?
Right now, it's just showing in draft form, and all that will change once the CPA and the auditors get a hold of these figures.
And at that time, can we move the money into the reserve fund?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a bunch of different concepts that are flowing through here, but when the financial statements come out, I'm pretty sure they're going to show a loss.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Yes, I agree. That's exactly what happened last.
Let's understand that. But on top of that, included in that loss is $400,000 or $500,000 of appreciation, which is non-cash. So we're still generating cash. So we're still going to have a big increase in cash, even though we have loss, and that's totally fine. So the fact that we have a loss doesn't mean we don't have excess cash. We do. And then the question is, what do we do with that cash? And, you know, Tom went through that whole, I mean, last year he went through the whole process of how we set up our reserves, right?
Right.
That's how you fund the reserves. That doesn't mean we have to adhere to that. I think it said we were going to put 150 into fixed assets. But if we're generating, you know, 400, and to Tyler's point, if there's some projects coming up that aren't on that five-year schedule, and even if there's a big project that's in the sixth year, I mean, that means, you know, you roll in the next year and all of a sudden you got a big deficit. I think we should be funding that up. But I think that's part of what has to take place at year end, once we know what the financials look like and how much excess cash we have that's building up in the operating cash reserves.
Well, I certainly don't take umbrage with what you just said, Craig. You know, I think that's the prudent thing to do. It's just, you know, what we're showing on paper doesn't, you know, calibrate against the reality.
I agree. This is presented. This is not presented in the best way, because a shareholder could look at this and say, you know, how can I even raise my fees 3%? I want to decrease. And that's, mm-hmm. that's not reality. But right. someone could look at that and make that assumption. So. Well, I mean, I'm in total agreement with you that I think the presentation, you know, we need to work on all these statements, actually. But.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was speaking to earlier, is that Craig and I were going to get together here in the upcoming months. Him and I had talked about that, and work on this even more and get it fine-tuned to where it's more understandable for everybody.
Yeah, and I think you've already started that with your first four or five pages. So I think you've made a great start, you know, in reorganizing how the information is presented. So I don't want you to think that we don't recognize how much progress you've made in that direction.
Okay.
It's just, it's going to go on forever, Tyler. So
right.
Don't worry about it.
I think that once we get an anchor on the ground with the year-end financial statements, and then, you know, assuming I've got time to spend and invest on it, and if we can get something that works for everybody, it'll be easy once we get there. We just got to get there. And I don't think it's going to be that hard to get there.
That's good to hear.
But I don't know. I don't know until I dive into more details too. So.
Is there any more questions or concerns with this page?
When do you think we'll get the final numbers from the accounting firm? Is it early March or?
Well, with tax season coming in April, we're hoping to have them before the March meeting, but it really just depends on those companies.
Okay.
Next page. So on this page just shows our usage for the year. For 2023, we did 37,301,000 gallons of water, which is a 36% decrease from the comparison year that the state uses for us to save 15%. So we exceeded that by quite a bit. So that's a very good thing. The community definitely did their part and saved quite a bit of water under drought stage two. And then go to the next page. This would be the wells drawdown. You can see late summer was well three was getting drawing down. That's very typical of what I've seen from year to year. And then now starting over the winter, the first 3 months of the late fall and winter, the well is coming back up and will continue to increase all the way into the spring. So the wells are doing excellent. Like, there's nothing bad happening with the wells. Next page would show the wells production, how much we pumped out of the White Pines wells and Lucia well, and then comparing just below that, scroll down, is what we used. We are the blue, and what we took from CCWD is the red. You can see the months when we had the HAA5 issues was the August, September, October. They were completely off until most of the way through November. And then that's when we had turned on the water again with CCWD. So soon here in January, we are going to start using more CCWD water than our wells, just because we want to conserve on the wells and make sure they keep filling up to their maximum amount.
Yeah, it's interesting to note, Tyler, that there's a water quality difference or chemistry difference between CCWD and VLS. You know, I'm in the part of the subdivision that gets CCWD, but when you switched over, I could tell a real difference in the soap setting and cleaning.
Yeah, so our well water is quite a bit harder than the CCWD water. And then the CCWD water is got a lower number on the Langlier index. So it's a little more aggressive. We try to not have as much aggressiveness, and lean just over the neutral part to where we're slightly aggressive. The water used to, about a year ago, be more on the calcium forming side. And that's where probably most of you would notice in your homes, especially on the well water, where you had white staining. And so we decreased the pH to accomplish having a lower calcium. But yeah, the waters are quite a bit different, mainly because you have one's a surface water, one's a well water. Mm-hmm. The treatment is dramatically different. Which one do you like more?
The well water.
The well water? Okay.
Tyler, have you had any damage, any flood damage from the storms?
Yeah, we'll be going over that in my general manager's report.
All right.
Tyler, do we have any shortage of chemical? Because I saw where that chemical plant caught on fire that supplied 50% of the water purification chemicals in the country.
Yeah, so we typically for the for our treatment plant is only chlorine and potassium permanganate. We do get caustic soda delivery, but we currently have approximately a little over a year's worth of caustic. We have about another 6 months to 8 months of chlorine, depending on how much we treat at the treatment plant. And same with the potassium permanganate. There was a chlorine shortage for a little while, but I had since they told me there was a shortage. We had received a very large order of chlorine. So
the factory makes potassium permanganate or whatever you pronounce it. So that's I just check and make sure. You may want to, if somebody's got some, if you have storage area and it's, I don't know what the shelf life is for it. So
it's about a year. So that's why we can only order so much at a time, because in a year the chlorine and the potassium permanganate, because they're oxidizers, they reduce the strength. So as they get older, we have to use a little bit more.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a diversion question, but as long as you have it on the radar.
Yep. No, we're definitely on top of it. So within my report is the storm damage. I had sent most of you an email a while back with the timeline of what had happened throughout the storm damage.
Have we Friday, lost Zoom?
What's that, Andy?
Hello.
Oh, Andy, your picture's frozen, but I can hear you.
Maybe not anymore.
Well, I'll continue. The timeline is pretty straightforward. Friday evening, Vince had been checking on the washouts where we typically have some spots, and he noticed that there was some road base washing down the road on Patricia. So he called me out. We got out there to find, Kathy, can you go to, making me the co-host, and I'll start to show some pictures regarding this.
I stopped sharing, so you should be able to pick over.
Okay, so sorry, give me 1 second, see if I can get these pictures up. Okay, so I'll start with the Friday. So Friday damage, we came out and noticed that this had happened. A main drainage culvert on Patricia had clogged. That would be a county culvert, and began diverting the water down Patricia through the ditch next to our water main. We then, this would be where the water is diverted down that ditch. The ditch is actually a little to the left side in this picture. And as you can see in this picture, it started eating away the road base and beginning to work its way down to the main. We had at this point called the county and had them come out and assess what they could do to open up that culvert. And they told me that the weather was too bad at the time and they would have to address it in a day or two. So we continued to monitor it. Let's see, Friday.
Tyler, are these large on your screen? Because they're small on mine.
They are somewhat larger on mine then, I guess, because
I see there's like 12 or 16 instead of one or two.
Let's see, can you see that better?
No. I see 20 pictures.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not seeing the singles as I'm pulling them up.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So I chose.
FYI, Andy lost his internet and his phone. I just texted him.
That.
Oh no.
Okay, so Tyler, do you want me to go in the conference room? I can run it through that computer in there.
If you want to run the video that we had made?
Yeah. Okay. Let me go run in there real quick.
Please. That'll make it a little easier for them.
And I went out and saw it. So it was a mess.
Yeah. Do I stop share, Kathy? Yeah. Okay. Let me stop share for a second. Yeah, Craig came out during the repair, and so he saw what we were fixing up, and it was quite a mess. If anybody had driven by just below Flying Acres on Moran Road, you could have seen how bad it was. There was quite a bit of road base out in the road. We had approximately 365 feet of pipe washout over the two-day period.
Okay. Here you go, Tyler.
So here's the first picture of where the water began to back up. Sorry, pause it, Kathy, for a sec. And then this is where the water began to divert down the side. And it started carving out the pipe. Go to next picture. And here's it a little further down where it kept washing out pipe. By now, all this road base that is missing from there was out on Moran Road.
Wow.
And there's another, that's still Friday night. Pause for a second. This would be Saturday morning when we came out, this same section that you were just looking at. The road base is now completely gone, and you can see the water main. That's the blue that you're seeing in there.
Looks like you still got some center loading.
Yeah. you can see, pause for a sec. This would be Sunday morning. Now the county still hadn't been able to come out. This was when I just went to the county office on Sunday morning and talked to them about needing to get out there right away. The water had been able to carve underneath the pipe, and the water right here in this picture is still actually running. It's just underneath the pipe. So it had washed out all the road base on top and underneath the pipe. And the pipe was sitting just above bedrock at this point.
Tyler.
Yeah.
While you're going through this, let me just, I had a dinner meeting with a guy that runs heavy equipment on that Highway 4 road project. And he said, this is obviously a poor backfill engineering, that there should be engineered backfill on a project. Does that ring a bell or make any sense to you?
No, we had the engineers do this. We had to pass compaction tests, which we will have to pass again from what we put back in there. So it had passed what the county regulates, what the state mandates for us, and what the engineer's specs had to be. There's a multitude of problems on why this is happening. One would be the ditch isn't formed, so the water has nowhere to go. Water is always going to find the path of least resistance. And once it starts touching this road base, it washes out the fines. And all that's left is the gravel, and the gravel will not hold together. So the biggest problem here was that main drainage culvert got clogged, and it basically diverted an entire creek down the top of our pipe, where it should have been flowing down the ditch and pouring into Moran Creek.
It just overwhelmed the engineering.
Yes, it overwhelmed their culvert because it got clogged, and then it was never designed to be able to handle this type of flows on top of it.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah. So this would be part of Moran Road where it was washing out. You can see the pipe clearly, the tear tape, and just keep it going, Kathy. The next picture, I believe, shows right here. There's a picture of Sunday, all the road base within the road at Moran and Meadow, just below Flying Acres. At this point, us and the county had used snow plows and pushed road base out of the road three different times. So this is the fourth time the road filled up with road base, just to give you an idea of how many yards of road base came out of those ditches. This is Sunday morning. Once it started to get sunny, you can see the ditch is now still flowing water in it and it's starting to clear up. That's the clog still happening at that point. And in this picture, I don't know if you can see the far back edge against that hill. That's somebody's driveway that's completely submerged in about 6 feet of water right now.
So, Tyler, can you hear me?
Yep.
I've never used the iPad. For some reason, I'm having difficulty connecting to the internet. But anyway, my understanding is legally homeowners are responsible for keeping their culverts clear. Is that true?
As far as I know, yes. That's something Andrew and I are looking into, to look at who's supposed to be maintaining their culverts. But this culvert in question that got clogged was a county culvert. So this would have been up to them to maintain. And whatever washed down the drainage and clogged it, which once we got it cleared out, I would have to say it was a small log and a lot of pine needles.
Yeah, so the cost of repair should go back to the county, correct?
That's what we're working on. We're hoping that. But I do know that we are on the hook to maintain the pipe or the utility for the life of the utility. But like, if Andrew... I don't believe he has any more information on it right now, but we're looking into the accountability on this happening.
Tyler, that's correct. So the law that applies when you're dealing with the county is quite different than dealing with a homeowner. Andy's correct. If this were a homeowner, they would have responsibility for maintaining the drainage and the impacts to our system. We would likely look at them to compensate. Different issue entirely when it's the county, unfortunately. So we are looking into it. And I know that Tyler's also looking to see about the availability of potential emergency funds and things like that.
Yeah.
But the status is we're working on it at this point.
Yeah. So we applied for the state of emergency funds to get reimbursed for this. Currently, that's still under review. So hopefully we can obtain a portion of that money back, if not all of it, and then we'll have to talk to the county about the other part of it. This washout is only one. We have some other smaller ones that are caused by homeowner culverts. It would be trying to figure out how to develop a way to, I don't know if it'd be to fine them or to give them the bill or, you know, to make them accountable for not maintaining their culvert. And that's what clogged. So we had spent, after this project, me and the field crew went out and we cleared ditches and homeowner culverts for about 3 days, 4 days now. I would assume already, again, with the rain that we're having, that there's more that have clogged up again.
You know, I think it could be some sort of a
communication to our homeowners that they are responsible for keeping their culverts clear, and that in the case of in the future, you know, damage, you know, related to the water company, they will be responsible for that.
And that's, I'm looking for ways to enforce that, possibly through where the HOA comes around and checks everybody's lots for if they've raked or not. A part of it would be nice if we can add having them check on their driveway culvert. If that's clogged, then giving them a notice to correct.
Again, I think the HOA is pretty active in this. So if you could coordinate your efforts with theirs, I think that would be beneficial. And I'm sure you know Thomas. He's pretty good. I think about every newsletter says you were responsible for cleaning your culverts.
Yeah, I know the county puts out notices for it annually. So does the HOA. And we would usually remind them in our bubbler.
We've got a culvert that goes under.
Be reinforced when we send out our billing, a notice and maybe a photograph and attention, see what kind of damage can be done if you do not maintain your culverts and the cost to us to Blue Lake Water.
Yeah, those are all great ideas that we can try to do moving forward. That's what we're working on now, is trying to figure out a way to solve this for the future, because this has happened. I think this is the third year in a row since the project stopped. The big one that I can remember, and Mazingo was on the hook for it because it was still under the warranty, was Linda and Moran Road. Both those spots had washed out completely to where you could see the pipe similar to this spot. So this is something that Andrew and I are going to be continuing to work on for, I'm assuming, some months to come.
Do we know how much we've spent on this? We're still waiting on the bills and stuff.
I haven't received a bill, but it should fall in the $5,000 to $10,000 area. Okay. And then with our overtime and employee costs, we're probably another $500 or $600. Right. So this could be in the ballpark of $6,000 to $11,000.
And then I saw something, the county has some kind of form to fill out. They were trying to track business and personal damage. I assume you guys saw that and filled that out to get, is that what you mentioned when you were filing claims or trying to get money?
Yeah, so that's the one I had filled out and sent off. Our Calaveras County OES, the Office of Emergency Services, was a huge help on this.
Okay, good.
They offered assistance. They actually gave us some pumps, so we were able to try to pump down that pond, basically, that was above, so we could find that culvert and get it unclogged. They have been very helpful in starting this process and trying to get reimbursement from the state.
Yeah, all right. Well, if it's only $10,000 and you had to sue them to get it, you'd rack up more lawyer's fees than that pretty quickly, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a thought on getting people to comply with this. What about making it easy for people, like in the sense that for lot clearing, there's a list of approved lot cleaners that you can go to with phone numbers and everything. What if we told people, if you've got a culvert that might be blocked, here's a list of the people who can solve your problem for you?
Yeah, we can do that. A problem that we have with the ditches being filled up is there's a lot of homeowners that rake their lot themselves, and typically they rake all the pine needles into the ditch and they leave them there. They don't burn them. They don't haul them off. I have numerous spots where there's brush that gets dumped there, whether it's from a different yard cleaner or the homeowner themselves. It's a big lack of maintenance on the drainage ditches.
I think the homeowner's letter mentioned something about this, the one that just came out the other day, the HOA sent out.
Yeah, Thomas Hines mentioned, he mentions it all the time, but
yeah,
people, you know, they read what they want to read and remember.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, there's ones that are afraid to use the shovel to clear out their culvert or don't want to hire somebody, as well as we have a very large turnover of homes in Blue Lakes annually. And you have just new people coming in all the time, and just trying to keep that message out to them is a great way, but have, like Craig is saying, having them actually read it and listen to it, because they typically feel they don't need to do that because possibly down where their full-time home is, they don't do that. So it's something we're going to be working on for the future here to try to get the county to do more enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Good luck for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead with the slideshow. So here's where the water was actually in the ditch just above, right? Here's where it poured in, started carving out the pipe. Here's the pipe fully exposed. This is on Patricia, pipe fully exposed still. There's the one service lateral that when the road base washed away, the pipe had shifted toward the road, and that service lateral got stretched and is currently still stretched to as far as it can be. When we repaired it right here on the backside of the pipe, between the pipe and the road, we actually added a kicker so the pipe will no longer move that way.
There's some feedback going on.
I think Andy's computer reconnected.
Yeah, I'm trying to fix it. Hold on just a minute. Sorry about this.
May I just put one of them on mute?
Yeah.
Well, that means we get Andy twice. That's not a bad thing.
So just in front of this picture here, just past the truck there on the left-hand side, there was where this water had came down, and there was actually another county culvert over there just in front of that barricade and cone that was completely clogged, and that water should have got to that culvert and went under Moran Road, but since that culvert was clogged, it washed over the top of Patricia and went down Moran Road. And that's what began to wash the pipe out on Moran Road. Go ahead and continue. So this would be where it came off of Patricia on the corner and started carving out the pipe on Moran Road. And as you can see, the pipe is fully exposed. And that trench is approximately 4 to 5 feet deep. This would be after we were repairing, this would be that same exact location that you were just looking at is now filled with new road base and was packed in what we call lifts. And we did it in about lifts of 1 foot. So it got whacked in there and compacted back in.
What kind of base did you use?
A Class 2 road base. So it came from a different yard than what the original stuff did. It had more clay and binding materials in it to help it lock up.
Yep.
So here's where you can see where the contractor had started to form us a new ditch, and that's what he's doing here in the skid steer. He made a new ditch to the side of the pipe, and so when the water does hit that area, it stays diverted to the side. And we'll no longer carve out our pipe. This would be the very first lift we did. Because it was so saturated, we had to do a small lift of drain rock so the water would keep draining and we could get the compaction we needed. Another picture of the drain rock covering the first lift and just barely covering the top of the pipe. This would be one of the lifts and the workers doing the compaction back into the ditch. That blue flags there would be where that service is stretched out. And this would be on Patricia right here. This is them forming that ditch on Patricia and Moran. I believe it's the next picture. Oh, well, then that's just us cleaning up afterwards, the cleaning the road. That is a completed job right here that you're seeing, where the new ditch is formed to the side of where our pipe is. And so any water that comes in here should slope away from where the pipe is and not cause the same washout. And currently it is still doing its job. So what we had done is working. This is just another lift, and that would be the end of it. So, like I said, we're in the process of figuring out ways to, one, be reimbursed for this, and two, to hold people accountable, and three would be to try to prevent it for the future. So there's a lot of work ahead of us in this next year, especially with how much rain we're getting. Even after this meeting, I'll probably go do a drive-through in some of these spots and make sure that it's still holding up and we're not receiving the same washouts or washouts in new areas.
Is there anything you can do proactively with sandbags or anything, or you just wind up pushing
water? Yeah, so we went to the county yard and we got, I would say, somewhere around 50 sandbags. We drove around and we dammed up spots and dug small ditches to help that water divert over into the ditch that it needed. Usually that had to happen at homeowner driveway ends because their culvert was clogged. Water would wash over the top of the driveway and on the backside of the driveway doing a carve out. So we were putting sandbags there to help direct that water back up against the ditch and stop losing road base. But we, after all these storms, we're going to have some quite a bit of time that we have to go out with just our hand crew and repair spots. And that's end of the report.
Thank you, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot to cover.
Yeah.
I didn't mean a pun. Sorry. So our next item is the appointment of a nominations chair for our upcoming election. We have one position. We'll have one board position available. So do I hear anyone who would like to be the nominations chair? It's very quiet. I'm assuming it's because everyone's on mute, so they're not.
Who's the incumbent that's up for
it? It would be me. So I can't do it myself. I think there's a conflict of interest.
So. I've done it the last 2 years. Somebody else step up.
Okay.
I did it 1 year. I don't know if it was last year, year before last. But that year they said, whoever's the first year on the board, is that's their first job, is to do the elections. So that's why I did it. That's what I was told.
If you haven't done it, it's the easiest job that's available on the board. If nobody else volunteers, I'll do it again.
Who was that?
That was Jeff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anybody else willing to do this job? It's very easy. All right, Jeff, I think you won.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're all right. Welcome.
When we went back to the, I want to go back for a second. We talked about the committee reports. I think that was part of the general manager report. I don't remember Tyler saying this, that we wanted to have the infrastructure committee meet later this month or early February, definitely before the next board meeting. So we can talk about any future projects that we want to complete this year. So,
the reportable items is where I'll be reporting on the status of the estimates or quotes from contractors regarding the projects we're trying to complete this summer.
Okay. Sorry, I just remember seeing the committee reports on the top of that page. So, All right, so mutual aid benefit agreement is next.
So this agreement, it's an agreement that CCWD put together for them to be able to help out other companies and possibly companies help them out within an emergency basis. We'd be looking at this. We don't have a ton to offer them. They would mostly be helping us. So typically if we had a main break in middle of the road, we have to use hand tools to get down to the main and or hire somebody with an excavator, which is pretty invasive on the pipe. You know, you could rip the pipe out. So being able to call CCWD in an emergency, they have a back truck. They would send out what they call their strike team and expose the pipe for us. We would fix the repair and then they would be able to help us backfill it. And then it would be on us to do the paving. It's just an agreement for both of us to enter into to basically offer mutual assistance. I had given this to Andrew, and there is one clause that Andrew added in there, I believe number 6, which is in the red there. And that's it. He thought the rest was pretty good. There were just some small grammatical errors that were changed in it.
If this was in place, is this something that they could have potentially helped us out with when you were fixing the
dam? Yes. Yeah, so like if what just happened with that washout, if I was able to call a contractor and he was able to come out within a day and help us, if for some reason that couldn't happen, yeah, I could call CCWD and they would be out there helping us and get that spot repaired.
Tyler, I think you said that this benefits us more than them. So why are they going to sign it?
Because it's just a mutual agreement. In the past, we've always offered help to each other. Just knowing that they have numerous hand crews, they have heavy equipment. They're probably not going to ever call us to need one of our guys to help them. At best, they're going to need maybe our generator for a short time. Or a part, sticks of pipe, dressers, flanges, valves, things that we have in stock in our back room. So there is a gain for them as well, but it's something that they had entered into with TUD, and I believe Snowshoe Springs is another one that they help out. And like Snowshoe Springs, they don't have a lot to offer in the way of assistance. It's just being able to call CCWD to help us in the time of an emergency.
Tyler, I'd add too that CCWD, because we are a customer of theirs, they probably see some benefit from increased stability and resilience in the face of emergencies from the water company. It means that they can help us in these smaller ways by providing assistance rather than having things really hit the fan and have to help us to keep the water on. So they probably get some benefit that way as well.
Help them in supplying emergency water to the subdivision where Kathy lives.
Yeah.
So this point I'm going to raise fairly belong here, but you know, given the recent issue with Billy joining CCWD, should we have in place anywhere a non-recruit agreement?
Yes.
You know, I don't want to deny any of our employees, you know, the opportunity to improve their careers, but, you know, if CCWD came after Billy, I have a real problem with that.
Well,
I think you better check
out after Billy. Billy went to CCWD. They had a job online that he applied for.
So I want to cut off some of the discussion because we are talking about employees. Status, but sorry, one second, please.
Anyway, we should check. Non-competes aren't legal in California, unless Andrew
It was very limited. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Bill. You're correct. Non-compete clauses are very limited in California, and I don't know the applicability when one of the competing agencies is a public agency. It's pretty rare. So it's something we would have to look very carefully at. And it could be something we could look at putting into employment agreements, which the water company typically doesn't do. You typically don't do employment agreements with your subordinate employees, but we could take a look at that. But my instinct is you'd get very little benefit from it, and you'd have to weigh it against the potential risk that you would, scare off candidates, frankly.
Yeah, there's some at the federal level about it now, too, about getting rid of non-compete. So that's bubbling out there right now.
All right, Tyler, can we get back to the...
Yeah, so it's a very straightforward agreement, like I say, that Andrew had reviewed. What I would be looking for from the board today is just the okay to sign into this and be able to offer each other's companies mutual assistance.
I would make a motion that we approve to enter into an agreement with CCWD regarding what General Manager Tyler Mayo had to say.
And I'll second. It appears to be a very fair agreement to me.
Yes.
So can I see the $2 million payment clause?
It's, was that the insurance, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah, general liability insurance, yeah. Which we exceed that already.
Okay.
Is there any other discussion?
So the cost of sharing resources is determined how?
Determined on the damage or the job that happens. Basically, let's say they send out their strike team, we would be reimbursing for the pay for those guys and the use of their equipment. Within this agreement, it talks about that with, let's say, equipment breaks. If we borrowed something and it broke on us, we would be on the hook to fix it. Same with them. If we gave them our generator and it broke, they would be on the hook for the repair. Basically giving back what we had received.
Okay.
I don't see this happening very often, if ever, just because I reach out to our small excavating companies within this area or construction companies to try to receive assistance. And then we usually do most of the work as the field crew. But in the event that I couldn't get anybody to help mitigate more damage, I could call them and have help.
Okay.
Is there any other discussion? So, Kathy, can we do a roll call so we can vote?
Yes. Bill Cover?
Yes.
Jeff Jones?
Yes.
Bruce Utter?
Yes.
John Dashner?
Yes.
Sharon Tobias?
Yes.
Dan Crosby?
Yes.
Andy Rich?
Yes.
So it passes. Thank you so much. So motion carries. So you have your agreement. I guess you just sign it and send it back, Tyler?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you for the approval on that. It will help us in the future if something bad happens.
All right. So the next item is correspondence.
I do have a shareholder email that is slated for executive session.
All right. Thank you.
And how on December 22nd, we billed out $261,970 of that $2188 with metered water because our usage was way down, so the metered water overage was lower this time. They're due January 26th, and as of last time I looked, like a week ago, we have about 530 people that are on auto pay now, and the bulk of that hits January 15th. So, and like I said earlier, when we were talking about aged accounts, I've been able to get a hold of most people that aren't leaned and make some sort of agreements with them. So the payments are doing pretty well.
Great. Thank you.
So in the reportables is just the additional projects, working on getting the three bids for the board. I have reached out to Cooper General Engineering, which it's actually just contracting through them. Reached out to Rolleri Excavation and Olson Excavation out of Tuolumne County. All were interested in doing our project list that we have for this summer. We had planned walkthroughs in December, and then the snow hit, so those walkthroughs got put on hold until weather pending right now. So they all are interested in doing the projects, and they said that they can do them this summer. They have the time to do it. So I'll be reaching out to them again and getting them to do a walkthrough. And at that point, once I can get them to do a walkthrough, I'll present the bids to everybody. And then we'll move forward with dealing with county permitting. Just as a quick conversation with Josh, he said we should be able to use our blanket permit to complete these small tasks that we have ahead of us.
So is this for engineering or construction or both?
Construction. Some of the engineering's been done from MC Engineering in the past. There's one section, the cross-country Del Rio pipe, that there isn't a physical drawing of, and that would be the engineering that we would have to go receive. I was waiting to talk to the contractors to see if they were going to actually need the drawing, because it is pretty straightforward. It's just a follow the property line, put in a new 6-inch pipe, and it's through one lot.
So you're hoping not to have formal engineering drawings done?
Right, and that's the hope, is to not have a very long, drawn-out formal engineering done on this. Because most of the projects, if anybody remembers the list, are small cut-and-caps. Boro Court, which has been engineered and drawn up from MC Engineering, and we have all that stuff still. I'd say the only one is the what we call the A1 project. I believe it's A1B. Sharon, is that correct?
Yeah, A1B. That's correct.
And it goes from Snowflake Drive over to Del Rio Court. And that's our main pumping line going up to the tanks. That's one of the section of pipe that didn't get replaced during the project. And it is a high priority on that one.
I think we thought we might have to do easement maps.
Right. That would, we might have to have some surveying done through that section. But hopefully not have to do engineering.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
What is next? Try to find it.
I believe it would be to move to an executive session regarding the shareholder email.
Okay. Before we adjourn to executive session, I wanted to thank everybody for attending today, and to Craig for being here and all your assistance with the financials. It's a very large effort in my book, since I'm not an accountant. If it's an engineering drawing, I do pick better. But thank you so much for everything you've done for the water company. I really appreciate it. And thank you to all the board for being here and everything you've all you contribute to the water company as well. So I think now we move to executive session.
All right, I'm going to drop off then.
All right. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Craig, for everything. I'll be talking to you soon.
You got it. Bye.
I need to stop recording real quick. Mm-hmm.